cities were supposed to save us. For decades, urban centers hemorrhaged residents, jobs, and hope. Detroit crumbled, New York teetered on bankruptcy, and suburban flight seemed irreversible. Then something remarkable happened. Cities came roaring back. Gleaming towers replaced abandoned warehouses. Artists transformed industrial lofts into cultural hubs. Tech companies colonized former manufacturing districts. Yet this renaissance has birthed a troubling paradox. The very forces reviving cities now threaten to destroy what made them great. Housing costs have exploded beyond reason. A teacher, nurse, or firefighter can no longer afford to live in the city they serve. Inequality carves deeper wounds through urban landscapes than at any point in modern history. Success, it turns out, can be its own undoing. Picture that New Yorker from 1975 suddenly transported to today. The transformation would seem miraculous. Dangerous streets now safe, derelict waterfronts transformed into parks, Brooklyn's factories reborn as luxury condos. Yet something feels fundamentally broken. That $50,000 brownstone now sells for millions. Monthly rents have jumped from $500 to $5,000. Glittering towers along Billionaires Row stand half empty while homelessness persists blocks away. This contradiction defines our urban moment. Just 6 metro areas attract nearly half of global venture capital. The 50 largest cities house only 7% of world population, yet generate 40% of economic activity. This clustering drives innovation. Doubling a city's population increases productivity and wealth by 15%. But the same forces create what's called the urban land nexus, fierce competition for limited space, where the affluent claim the best locations, pushing everyone else to disadvantaged areas or farther out. Winner-take-all dynamics create superstar cities that dominate globally. New York, London, Tokyo, Hong Kong, Singapore. These command centers share more with each other than with cities in their own countries, attracting disproportionate talent, capital, and innovation. One Soho apartment, median $3 million, costs as much as 18 homes in Las Vegas, 30 in Cleveland, or 38 in Memphis. Among 11,000 American zip codes, just 160 had median home prices exceeding $1 million, 80% clustered in New York, LA, and San Francisco. This isn't purely market forces. NIMBYism has evolved into new urban LUDism, with complex zoning laws artificially constraining housing supply, costing the U.S. economy up to $2 trillion annually. Workers in superstar cities benefit from higher wages, if they're in the right class. Creative professionals in San Jose average $80,503 left after housing costs. Service workers, just $14,372. We're witnessing 5 simultaneous crises. Winner-take-all urbanism concentrating wealth, unaffordable superstar cities, vanishing middle classes, suburban decline, and developing world slums expanding without growth. Poverty has quietly migrated to suburbs, where 17 million Americans now struggle compared to 13.5 million in cities. The developing world faces urbanization without growth, 800 million people crammed into slums with little hope of improvement. Musicians David Byrne, Patti Smith, and Moby lament that cities have become walled communities for the rich. Soho transformed from bohemian artist haven to luxury shopping district. The Lower East Side now hosts $4 million condos. Yet creativity hasn't died, it's just moved. Despite feeling disadvantaged, artists remain relatively privileged, averaging $52,750 after housing costs, triple what service workers retain, $17,860. Global wealth has flooded superstar cities, creating neighborhoods of vacant luxury properties. In London, 740 properties worth $5 million or more sat empty in elite neighborhoods in 2014. Manhattan saw a 70% increase in absentee-owned apartments between 2000 and 2011. These aren't homes, they're investment vehicles. Yet tech companies drive the innovation, jobs, and tax revenues cities need. New York's post-2008 comeback was fueled by a 13% expansion in its creative economy. Three cities, New York, LA, and London, have produced 63.2% of hitmakers since 1950. Superstar cities succeed because they offer complete ecosystems needed to launch careers. Gentrification has become urban discourse's most loaded term, yet research reveals surprising complexity. Since 2000, over half of America's 100 largest cities saw central neighborhood population growth, compared to just 6 in the 1970s. This back-to-the-city movement, driven by affluent, educated, and white households, follows transit lines, schools, parks, and publicly subsidized redevelopment. Gentrification concentrates in expensive superstar cities and tech hubs. In three-quarters of America's largest metros, less than 10% of neighborhoods gentrified during the 2000s. A Philadelphia study found just 15% of census tracts gentrified between 2002-2014, with minimal direct displacement. However, vulnerable residents who moved ended up in higher poverty neighborhoods with worse schools and more crime. Race fundamentally shapes gentrification. Chicago research found neighborhoods only gentrified if they were at least 35% white and no more than 40% black. Most poor black neighborhoods remain immune to gentrification, with residents trapped in persistent poverty. For every census tract that gentrified between 1970-2000, 10 remained poor and 12 declined into concentrated disadvantage. The real crisis is the vastly larger number of neighborhoods gentrification bypasses entirely. By 2013, Manhattan's top 5% earned 88 times what the poorest 20% did, a tale of two cities that propelled Bill de Blasio to mayoral victory. Urban inequality now rivals the world's most unequal countries. New York's Gini coefficient matches Swaziland's, Miami's parallels Zimbabwe's, lower-paid service workers. Economic inequality has evolved into deepening segregation. Between 1980-2010, families in either all poor or all rich neighborhoods doubled from 15% to 34%, while middle-class neighborhoods shrank from 65% to 40%. The wealthy wall themselves off in what philosopher Michael Sandel called the skyboxification of society, creating the patchwork metropolis, tightly clustered zones of advantage surrounded by disadvantage. Today, 75% of poor neighborhoods remain poor a decade later, while 80% of affluent neighborhoods stay affluent for decades. Your zip code increasingly determines your destiny, creating inequality of opportunity that compounds across generations. The suburbs, once embodiments of the American dream, are in crisis. While affluent young Americans return to cities, immigrants, minorities, and the poor are moving to suburbs, a shift affecting the 53% of Americans who identify as suburban residents. Between 2000-2013, suburban poverty increased 66% compared to 29% in cities. 17 million suburbanites now live below the poverty line versus 13.5 million urbanites. Violent crime fell three times faster in cities than suburbs between 1990-2008. During 2001-2010, murders rose 16.9% in suburbs while falling 16.7% in cities. Suburban sprawl costs the U.S. economy approximately $1 trillion annually, $600 billion from inefficient land use and car dependency, plus $400 billion from congestion and pollution. Infrastructure costs 2.5 times more to deliver in suburbs than urban centers. By 2015, average urban home values exceeded suburban ones for the first time in generations. Yet 9 of the 10 richest neighborhoods remain suburban enclaves, with Greenwich, Connecticut's Golden Triangle averaging over $600,000 in household income. Cities remain our most powerful economic engines, but the path forward requires urbanism for all. Replace property taxes with land value taxes, incentivizing intensive development while capturing windfall profits for public benefit. Invest in mass transit and high-speed rail that reinforce density. redirect the $200 to $600 billion we annually spend subsidizing affluent homeowners through mortgage interest deductions toward affordable rental housing for those who actually need help. Transform low-wage service jobs into middle-class work. Higher pay drives productivity and profit. Companies like Trader Joe's and Costco pay substantially above minimum wage, generating higher engagement and better service. Tackle poverty directly through negative income tax or universal basic income. Without action, superstar cities will become gilded, gated communities that lose their creative spark, while older industrial cities struggle and suburbs grow poorer. The defining struggle of our time: winner-take-all urbanism or fuller, fairer urbanism for all. Cities created this crisis. Cities can solve it too.